You are listening to a sermon by Laura Erickson, recorded on Sunday, October 4th, 2020, at the Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Speech, worded and wordless. Speech is defined by many, many words when I Googled it, but the short version is, speech is human vocal communication using language. But this brief description doesn't capture the wonder of words or the gift to humans of language and colorful communication. It doesn't communicate the power of metaphor, that a picture too can speak 1,000 words. The day before Curtis's memorial service, we heard in Evan's meditation Mercedes Sosa sang the incredibly beautiful Gracias a la Vida, thanks to life. The whole song is profound, words and wisdom, music and meaning, so beautifully intertwined. But my heart especially leapt when these words appeared in translation. Thanks to life, which has given me so much. It gave me sounds and the alphabet, and with it, the words that I think and declare, mother, friend, brother, and the light shining, the root of the soul from which comes love. For as long as I can remember, words have been important to me, first in Dutch and then in English. We grew up, my sisters are here too, we all grew up with two strong messages, perhaps more like maxims. The first was Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. I was taught early that timely words are powerful. And the second maxim, taught first by my grandfather and reinforced by my father, was this: know everything you say, but don't say everything you know. I learned to use words carefully. These two signposts have shaped me more than words can tell. Who would we be without speech, without words? And who are we through our speech and through our words? Psalm 19 is about speech, about speaking with and without words. It is primarily about God speaking. First, through wordless speech, speech not even needing words. Second, speech of the word and through the word. And third, our speech as echoes and response of what we have heard. And my reflections follow these three sections. So first, wordless speech. We all know this kind of speaking. The language of kindness, getting a message across without words. Yesterday, Sven brought me garden flowers after a difficult conversation. It was wordless speech. The wordless pictures of Psalm 19 are so very grand and incredibly beautiful. They awaken us to reverence, to pay attention, and to wonder. They awaken us to the opposite of the end of the psalm, the opposite of insolence, to the opposite of disrespect, of arrogance, of haughtiness. They point to and preach God glory from the expansion of the heavens all the way to the standing on a rock. C.S. Lewis hailed Psalm 19 as the finest poem ever written. How dare I even begin to approach it? N.T. Wright describes it as one of the best loved of the Psalms. No wonder Joseph Haydn set it to music with "The Heavens Are Telling," as we have heard today, and thanks to all your tech people who have helped to make that happen. Music, too, is speech. That's what so moved me in this psalm, the unworded speech of God, the glory of the skies, the rhythms and the wonder of Earth's daily rotation around the sun, giving the pattern of morning, evening, day after day, night after night. The precision of the annual revolving of our small, beautiful planet around the sun, giving us seasons and solstices, springtime and harvest. Who of us has not been awed by God's detailed handiwork, both the grand and the minuscule? The unspoken voice of God's glory, the psalmist says, goes into all the earth, no matter what language is spoken there. No wonder we need music to hold this awe. No wonder we search for words to describe it. Thanks to life, to God, for sounds and alphabets, sings the brilliant Latin voice of Mercedes Sosa. Some time ago, a six-year-old asked me a question about different ways we can speak. It was a sleepover morning. I had risen early and was already in my morning chair, reading, writing, listening, when I heard a voice come up the stairs. "It's light outside, it's time to wake up." He sits with me for a while, and we listen to the light. He notices my open journal and breaks the silence. "Mei-mei," he asks, "do you know how to speak in handwriting?" What a good question. I'm sure it drove to the invention of the printing press. On the first page of this year's journal are written these words from Psalm 19, long before I knew I would speak on them. "May the words of my pen, too, and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." I do hope that words received and words offered back can speak. So secondly, the worded speech of Psalm 19. Even though God's glory is spoken with a voice not heard, God does speak too. Through the speech of the word, Torah, law, as referenced or as referred to in the psalm. Eugene Peterson translates, "As the sun awakens us each morning, so God's word vaults across the skies from sunrise to sunset." N.T. Wright, in his book, A Case for the Psalms, suggests that as the sun is the center, so too is Torah, God's word filled with glory and purpose. Peterson continues in the translation, "The revelation of God is whole and pulls our lives together. The life maps of God are right, showing the way to joy. God's word warns us of danger and directs us to hidden treasure. The revelation of God is whole and pulls our life together." The revelation of God can renew our life. 40 years ago, that's more than half my life ago, I was unexpectedly immersed in this truth. I was laid low in the dust, as Psalm 119 puts it. Depressed is perhaps another word for this. It felt to me like a midlife crisis at 35, kind of lost. So many voices tried to help. "Try a new diet, a new hairdo," but that didn't work. My whole family laughed at my perm. "Try rearranging the furniture," said another voice. But it was my own rearranging that I remember. It was a day in September, mid-morning, that it began. The children were at school. Sven was teaching his morning classes at CBI, and I crawled back into bed, listless, tremendously discouraged. But something urged me to maybe try a Bible verse, and the pages fell to Psalm 119. "I am laid low in the dust," I read. "Renew my life according to your word. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Your promise renews my life." And it was like I woke up for a hunger for this kind of renewal. These weren't remote words from the past. These words were alive for now, for this tired pilgrim who, in looking back now, was struggling for so many reasons, for so many huge losses, with accumulated grief, and I was knowing anguish of soul. Augustine once wrote, "O Lord, thou didst strike my heart with thy word, and I loved thee." I heard those words way back then first, and that's how it felt for me. In those early fall days 40 years ago, God striking my heart. Henry Nouwen says, "Spiritual reading requires a willingness not just to read, but to be read. Not just to master, but to be mastered by the words." I call this standing under the word. About a year ago, one of our discussions in the chapel, this discussion revolved around our view of scripture, whether we have a high or a low view. One of us, one who digs her garden deep, said, "Maybe we should seek a deep view of scripture, not a high or a low view." God speaks wordless, and God speaks worded. Most poignantly, God speaks through the word made flesh. It is the incarnate word of God in Christ that integrates the message. All the full measure of divinity has taken up bodily residence in Christ, says Colossians 2, verse 9. And we heard from Hebrews 1, the Son is the radiance of God's glory. It is this Christ who says in Matthew 7, 24, as the Message translates it, "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. My words are foundational words, words to build your life on. Work them into your life." Thirdly, Psalm 19 ends with our response to God speaking. I find it striking that the end of the psalm begins with a confession. Perhaps it is the recognition of the immensity of the Torah that brings this confession on. Peterson translates it this way: "Clean the slate, God, so we can start the day fresh. Keep me from stupid sins." The NRSV says, "Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Don't let arrogance, disrespect, haughtiness have dominion over me." Note that the psalmist ends in reverence and in prayer. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Just as our actions matter, speech has weight too, in how we echo what we have heard. Elie Wiesel once said, "Words can sometimes, in moments of grace, attain the qualities of deeds." Words can sometimes, in moments of grace, attain the qualities of deeds. May the words of my mouth, not just today, not just in preparation for speaking, but the meditations of my heart too, be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. These words actually stop me. They challenge me, not just today, but for in how we communicate. But these words also encourage me, because ultimately, we rest not in the brilliance of our speech or our works or our words, but in the love and faithfulness of Yahweh, our Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, the full Trinity who grounds us and graces us. Grounded and graced, may our speech, worded or silent, be more and more grounded and graced. Amen.